Hi everybody and welcome to week 8. Our term is definitely coming to a close. I hope you guys have enjoyed the material that we've covered in the class so far. I think law and ethics is, it can appear dry, but the information that we give in this class is so vital to our work, our everyday work in the dental office. So let's look at some of the Chapter 5 risk management topics that the book discusses. And so definitely look in your book at the 10 rules of risk management. I don't outline it in the lecture, but I do want you to be familiar with them. It's been found that 9 out of 10 patients that sue are the patients that are angry at their doctor. So while it may, you know, if a patient is angry for some reason that we find completely ridiculous, which happens, or whether what they're angry about is well-founded, we want to try and placate the patient and make them know that we are concerned because they're concerned. We understand that they are upset, and if they're upset, then we're going to be upset too until we find some kind of a solution that both of us can be agreeable to. So it's angry patients that sue. So we want to keep our patients from being angry. However, we can work that, and sometimes you just can't. You know, there's times when patients just need to be angry and want to be angry, and whatever their motivation is, we're not going to be able to help that, but we want to take whatever steps we can, and we want to document every one of those steps and every one of those conversations that we have, whether those conversations are face-to-face or over the phone or even at the local grocery store if we run into each other. If they are said to you as a dental assistant who represents an office from a patient that you've had interaction before, you can document that in the patient's chart, documenting also that you saw the patient at a local grocery store and the patient was very upset and very vocal with you. So definitely documentation is vital to protecting the dentist and the dental office from the lawsuits of patients. And again, remember that a happy patient does not tend to sue their friend because they want everybody to be happy. They want the dentist to be happy as well. Patient records. There's a lot of confusion over patient records on the behalf of the patients themselves. You know, they pay a lot of money to the dentist to treat them, so they also feel that those records should be theirs at will. And that just simply is not the case. Those are records that the dentist has developed to provide treatment for the patient. So the dentist does own those records, and that includes any kind of chart notes, any kind of documentation, any kind of x-rays, any kind of film, or anything that they have done on behalf of the patient. Those are legally the ownerships. They are owned by the dentist. So in some states, however, it is a fact that the dentist must share or make those records available to the patient. And most offices have no problem with that. But what we do not do is ever hand over the original copies to a patient. Only a copy of the originals can be handed to the patient or shared with the patient. We never, ever give the originals to a patient. So we don't want them to accidentally walk out of the office and not return with them. So always, always, always make photocopies if the dentist has said that the patient can have that copy or if the law states it and the patient has requested it. If you work in an office and there happens to be a patient who is unhappy and seems to possibly be interested in a lawsuit, if they send their lawyers or somebody with big credentials that we naturally might be wanting to just hand things over with because we're nervous or we don't feel like we have the right to guard or protect them, be very, very sure that you know that the dentist is the only one in the office who has the right to hand over chart notes. So that really relieves us from a lot of the pressure of knowing what's right or wrong to do. So if somebody comes in and starts flashing badges or flashing licenses and saying you have to do this and you have to do that, You do not have to do that. Only the dentist who owns the practice has to do that. So we stand in their place. We're the first line of defense. So what we would do is we could have that person have a seat. We do not hand anything over to anybody, no matter what their credentials are, unless the dentist has first told us it is okay. So if somebody were to arrive at the desk and try to scare you into handing over documentation of a patient's or a patient's chart note, if that person were to walk out the door with that chart note, you have nothing left. So never, ever, ever hand that over. You would instead go have the doctor come out and talk to that person, or the dentist may say, I'm in the middle of care with a patient right now. That person will have to come back, or that person will just have to sit and wait. One of the other things that we do is every dentist has a malpractice representative. And it may mean that we need to call whoever that lawyer, that representative, their legal representation, which is a lawyer, we may need to call them and have them come down and represent the doctor. It's really important when somebody needs records from a patient that they be able to read what is in the records. And dentists are not known for their amazing penmanship. And I think that is something that, you know, all of us struggle with. So if we as assistants also don't have good penmanship, that the record is really so dental records are so important. They are the number one defense that the doctor has against lawsuits. And it is what documents everything that they have done and why they've done it. And if the information isn't in the documentation, then we can get in trouble. But the other thing is if we can't even read the documentation because of bad penmanship, we can actually be put in a worse spot than if we had not written it at all. So bad penmanship actually worsens a record instead of making it more valuable. So it's very important that our penmanship be clear. And, you know, it's really nice now because most offices are into electronic charting. So they have dental databases and we chart right into the computer using typing. So there's not a lot of penmanship or not as much penmanship required as there used to be. But now what they are finding is that people, instead of writing what is commonly called the English dialect, they are actually using their text messaging dialects with, you know, the terminology and the shortcuts that you would see when somebody texts. So that isn't always helping us either. So it's really necessary to be very, very clear when we document procedures, reasons, whatever we're documenting in a patient chart. It has to be clear so somebody else who picks it up and has no knowledge of dentistry can read it and know what's happening. So legible penmanship is huge. It's very, very important. The other thing is if that you make an error in a chart record, the default setting in most of us is to just scribble it out or erase it or get the whiteout out and hide it. And it's not necessarily because we want to hide it. It's because we want everything to look nice and neat. And we don't want other people to see the errors we've made. But it just so happens that looks like we are hiding from the legal system standpoint. So when we correct something in a chart note, we have to use pen and we have to use a single line and put a single line through that entry that we are getting rid of. We need to write why we're getting rid of it and date it and sign it. And that all takes up space, but it has to be done. The nice thing too with electronic charts is now if things are changed, there's also a trail that's left behind electronically of any changes to records. Anyway, the other things that need to be part of a record, you need to have date entries. And one thing that people commonly forget to do is add a year to their dated entry. So they'll put the month and the date, and then they will forget the year. So most times when we follow patients, we follow them for years and years and years. So we want to know from 1 year to the other what date we're actually talking about. So it's important that the full date be written down at all times. Signatures need to be also put on all documentation. The doctor has to sign all documentation, and then whoever wrote the chart notes or the author also has to write their signature as well. PARQ, which again is procedures, alternatives, risks, and questions. That acronym needs to be added to every chart note, because legally there's been cases where people have not added that to their chart note and have been penalize up to $5,000 for not having that in their chart note. So anyway, continue reading through the lecture on that. The other things that I wanted to talk about is altering patient records. You know, we all make mistakes, and there is no court system that expects that all chart notes are perfect. No court system expects you to never need to add things later on. I've gone home and realize, oh yeah, I forgot to add the shade that we use for that composite filling. I need to go add that in. And so I will change or add, I won't alter, but I will add to that record the next day and create an addendum to the previous date and add that additional information. Every time we make changes to records or add to them, we kind of weaken the record a little bit. So that's never a good thing, but it's not as bad as crossing things out or changing or actually adding to this that day's chart notes, you know, a year later. In one case, there was a dentist who had, I forget what the case was about, but the dentist was in the right. He hadn't done anything wrong, but he hadn't documented thoroughly the information that needed to be gathered and shown in the chart note. He hadn't put it all in the chart note. So when the patient took him to court, the dentist, knowing he had had certain conversations with the patient and given the patient certain choices, but they were not, you know, written or represented in the chart notes, he went back and added them to the chart note years later. And they actually happened to do a penmanship dating on the chart notes. And also the problem was is that the patient had been given a copy of their chart notes that had been previous to the doctor's additions. So there was before and after pictures, basically, of the patient's chart. So the doctor ended up being penalized and sued and lost the case because of his changes to the documentation being improperly made. Whether he was in the right or wrong to begin with, his changes to the documentation is really what made his case fail. So it was really, really sad, because a huge penalty and losses to him and his reputation, and all because he had not documented everything at the time of the treatment and went back and did it the wrong way. And again, no court expects us to be perfect. They expect that we will remember things later, and as long as we document them the correct way, we are not going to be at fault for doing illegal documentation changing of records. Okay, well, that's it for this week. I hope you guys have a really great week. Make sure and look at the forum that we're going to be doing this week. Students generally really enjoy this forum and finding out some of the different reasons that dentists have been sued, and hygienists and dental assistants as well have been sued in Oregon, and the reason. So hopefully it'll be eye-opening and interesting to you. Have a great week.